Now, should we just rip the Band-Aid off right at the start and talk about A Day to Remember's Red Wedding, the bloodletting, the feud with Victory Records, which finally resulted in you being allowed to release your record?
Sure, let's do it.
Is it weird because you would see these people around town? Like, that's the thing I find weird. Like, I know people have fights with record labels and stuff. You've known these guys for ages. You know these as actual human beings, and you may actually see them at the places.
Yeah, I do, for sure, all the time.
So what happens when you see these people?
Well, you know, we're cool about everything. Like, we're not mad at anybody. Mm. There was multiple times we pulled people aside, like Tony himself. We pulled Tony himself aside multiple times, and we were just like, hey, man, let's just go into a room together and sort this out. Yeah. And we did that. We had really cool conversations with the guy that made it feel like it used to feel, like when we were young. And I don't want to do anything that makes anybody at that label feel like we wronged anyone, because that's not what we're trying to do. We just feel like, you know, this guy's taking advantage of us. Well, he's not going to do that anymore. Like, we're at a point where we can stand up for ourselves and not be afraid that he's going to ruin our career. Well, we were afraid. But the judge being or letting us put out this album, now Tony has nothing to hold above us. So it's over.
And that feels good.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. Exactly, man. All we cared about at the end of the day was putting out this album. I could give a shit if we lose this court case or not. The only thing that mattered was putting the album out. Our fans don't care about a stupid lawsuit. They want the songs, and they want them now.
Well, because now you've got something really blisteringly loud and awesome to play over the top of all that annoying noise. I'm talking to Jeremy McKinnon from A Day to Remember. That's the very first track, the very start of Common Courtesy, which is like you giving a sweet shout out to your hometown of Ocala in Florida.
Exactly. That's the point.
Do you guys still all either live there or spend a bit of time there?
Oh, I spend a lot of time there. My family's still there, so I try to go home as often as possible. My girlfriend lives one town over, so I spend a lot of time there still. And I mean, and like I talk about in that song, it's like that. It is cool. It is cool to travel the world and have people, they notice you, and then you go home, and anyone who notices you is somebody you grew up with or somebody you've known for a really long time. It, like I say in the song, it really is a place where we can be ourselves and not worry about anything.
There is a really nice line, nice verse in City of Ocala. Remember way back when this place is bigger to me. Let's have it break it talk. And did your mum watch you play guitar, Jeremy?
Absolutely. When I was younger, how I learned how to play guitar was she paid for me to have lessons. And this is what I would do. I would go and I would take a CD in with me and I would show my teacher the song that I loved. And he would figure it out and he'd write it out on tab for me. And then I would go home, I'd pop the CD in the record player, and then I would just play along to the song. I'd play along to it for days until I got it down to where I could play it for real. And when I learned the song well enough, I'd go grab my mom. I'd be like, Mom, come watch me play this song. And I would play it, and she would watch me, and she was so stoked.
Your mum was your very first mosh pit, Jeremy.
She was definitely the first fan. Absolutely.
That is great. What sort of songs were you learning to play back then?
I mean, tons. Blink-182, No Use for a Name was big. I learned how to play old Under Oath stuff from their Cries of the Past.
Yeah.
Like when they were a metal band and wore corpse paint.
That is great. All right, I'm talking to Jeremy McKinnon, who more than likely was playing Under Oath songs in corpse paint in front of his mother more than 10 years ago. I'm going to play that song, City of Ocala. It sort of leads right in to the very next song on the record, when we've been playing for a little while, right back at it again. In fact, I think it even has the same lyrics peppered throughout it, the back at it again. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we'll talk more about the brand new A Day to Remember album, Common Courtesy, on Triple J. On Triple J, that was Right Back At It Again from Common Courtesy, new album from A Day to Remember, finishing with the word bitch, Jeremy, who's on the phone. A little bit of fun at the end there. In fact, and this is a song that almost didn't make it onto the record.
It is. It's one of the last ones. I was so fed up one day, I just kind of had a mini meltdown in front of everybody because I felt like none of the songs that I wanted to be on the album really got a chance to be heard. And Chad was there from Newfound Glory. He was working on this album with us, too. He's like, well, like, what song? What song are you talking about? Show us some of them. And I was like, well, like this one. I mean, I really, really like this chorus. I mean, come on, check it out. And then I played it, and everybody heard it, and they were like, oh, my God, this is great. I was like, I thought it was good, too. This is what I'm talking about. Let's freaking work on one of these songs. And then we did.
And there it is.
It got to be the first single.
That's great. It's great. It's, you guys have been doing that cross-genre pop punk and hardcore kind of thing for 10 years now. And the world is kind of caught up. And having the dude from Newfound Glory, having Chad there for the last few albums, definitely helped cement that pop-punk feel pretty nicely.
Absolutely. He's awesome to have around, for one, because he kind of understands both sides of what we're doing, because, you know, he's from the hardcore world and the pop-punk world. So it's just cool because the way he puts together songs, like his signature things when writing songs, are totally different than, like, my signatures or Tom's signatures when we write for A Day to Remember. So it's just cool to have, like, that fresh set of ears that can kind of really make different things stand out.
There's the songs with the different tempos in them, from, like, the really hardcore stuff with the double kick, as I was saying, and there's some kind of Foo Fighter-y feeling stuff as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. That's how I felt about it, too. Best of me.
I tell you what, they're amazing and so good live as well, although I've never seen Dave Grohl in one of those inflatable balls that I've seen photos of you in, Jeremy.
Exactly, man. He's got to step up his game.
He
I'm
does.
Coming for him.
I know that the dude from Flaming Lips, Wayne Coyne, does it, and Diplo from Major Lazer, but in the rock and roll hardcore world, you're the only inflatable ball guy. Is the inflatable ball coming to Soundwave?
Actually, yeah, we've never done it at Soundwave. I think we're going to try to do it. We'll see what happens.
I'd love to see the main dude from Gwar in it as well. I imagine he'd be stealing it and getting in it.
Oh, man, that'd be hilarious. We might have to get another ball and just have, like, guest ball appearances.
Guest ball appearances would be the pull quote of this if this was a magazine article. I'm talking to Jeremy McKinnon from A Day to Remember. When I got the record, I kind of flicked forward and went straight to the track, The Document Speaks to Itself, and I was expecting to hear this.
You have one message.
Hey, Drew, Tony from Victory, 12:30 in the morning in Chicago. Just saw the video, man. I'm going to sue you, boy.
Now, this is the recording of an answering machine message from the dude from Victory Records that originally preceded the song, This Document Speaks to Itself. I guess it's a good lesson to never drunk dial.
Thank you so much for playing that. We were so bummed when we were told legally we could not put that on the album. Because holy shit, what a great intro to that song, right?
It's brilliant. Have you used it as like a live walking on stage intro?
No, we haven't yet. We haven't played any of these songs really live, other than Right Back At It Again, Violent. But we definitely will be using that live, for
That's
sure.
That's great. A Day to Remember are back. You're just here in July. You're going to be back here next year for Soundwave with this entire bunch of new tunes and a bunch of bands as well. So many bands on this lineup. Mastodon, Pennywise, Dillinger, Suicide Silence, new singer, Dream on Dreamer, Stiff Little Fingers, Avenged Sevenfold, Green Day, AFI, Alice in Chains, Gwar. So many bands. Have you got your head around who you're going to be touring with next year, next February?
Holy shit, that's a great lineup. That's amazing. I'm going to watch AFI like every day.
Well, it's AFI and Green Day, and I know they both did that Green
that's
Day music.
I haven't seen Green Day yet.
Really?
That was my first time seeing them and playing with them.
Whoa!
Yeah. Australians as a whole. Thank you for allowing me to do this.
Hey, I got a few texts from people who are really digging your stuff. Ethan from Clarencetown wants us to play Sometimes You're the Hammer, Sometimes You're the Nail. So how about we finish off the interview with a little bit of that?
Hell yeah.
Hey, Jeremy McKinnon, thank you very much for talking to Triple J today. We'll see you next year.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.